Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
This is not a negotiation. I'm running this team because the Reinsdorfs want me to, and I'm going to run it that I think is best.
And your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
I think your play is embarrassing. The pro player thing, this is basketball.
Follow Locked On Bulls on social media. On Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Pat. And on Facebook, at Facebook.com/LockedOnChiBulls.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Streaming live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. Every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Our text and voicemail lines at 331-979-1369. Hit us up there with all of your texts, your voicemails. Doing mailbag tomorrow, so make sure you get those voicemails and those text messages in. Drop those there. You can also hit us up on Twitter or Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnChiBulls. All right, we're going to get right into it. We've got a fantastic interview for you guys today. Recurring guest of the show, David Kaplan. You know him from ESPN 1000, weekday mornings, Cap and Company, 9 a.m. to noon, as well as Sports Talk Live on NBC Sports Chicago, Monday through Friday, every single day, and also pre- and post-game for the Chicago Cubs on NBC Sports Chicago. Cap had Jim Boylan, head coach of the Chicago Bulls, on yesterday morning on his radio show, so we'll talk to him about that. Great conversation there. Talk to him a little bit about Zach LaVine, Lauri Markkanen, talk a little bit about free agency. We go all over the place, so it was fantastic. 30-plus minutes of great conversation with the Catman. Follow him on Twitter, at the Catman. Without further ado, here is ESPN 1000's David Kaplan.
Right now, we're very pleased to welcome back to Locked On Bulls one of our favorites to talk to. He is the Catman, David Kaplan, host of Cap and Company, weekday mornings, 9 to noon on ESPN 1000, also host of Sports Talk Live weeknights on NBC Sports Chicago. You can follow him on Twitter if you aren't already, at the Catman. Cappy, hope you're doing well, bud. Thanks for joining us. Let's jump right into it. You interviewed Bulls head coach Jim Boylan on your radio show yesterday morning. What was your biggest takeaway from that conversation compared to what this Bulls universe was a week after that guy took over for Fred Hoiberg?
That maybe the narrative that has been spun out there in Bulls Nation is not as accurate as we all maybe thought it was. And so after I interviewed him, and then I had a chance to talk to Casey Johnson, Mark Schanowski, Malika Andrews, Mark Carmen, people that are on the beat, they said, yeah, things are different. It's guys are happier. Guys are playing with more pace. And I said to Jim toward the end of the interview, if you could go back to the start, do you regret how it began and would you do it differently? And his answer was, absolutely not. I do not regret it. And I would do nothing differently. I had to tear them down to build them back up, and I was doing it at the behest of my management. They wanted a tougher team, and that's why we did it the way we did it. So I think this narrative is this guy was a boob. He was completely out of control. He had no idea what he was doing, and it was just a mutiny getting ready to happen. And I think the fact of the matter is it might not have been – it might not be the way we've all perceived.
Very interesting, because thinking back to those first couple of weeks, and Matt and I will certainly be the first to tell you that we are guilty of it for crushing him in the first couple of weeks, and we've been part of the criticism for how things went in that first couple of weeks. But I'm curious how you feel, you know, saying that he doesn't regret anything, but even thinking now and listening to the way he talks and certain subjects that he brings up and incorporating stats and analytics and even just the way he acts during games now. He has grown as a coach, and this being the first time he's been a head coach in the NBA, do you even though he says he doesn't regret some of those things, do you wish even if he had a do-over that he would do some of those things differently?
You know, it's hard for me to answer that because none of us were there. I don't know what it was like under Fred Hoiberg. So was it necessary to challenge guys? Was it necessary to run guys and have them run, you know, what they call gassers and make sure that guys are getting in better shape? Maybe it was, and we just, you know, we're all naive to the fact that you would think they're an NBA player, they should be in top shape, and they should be ready to go. So it's hard for me to answer that. I know that it was not a good look. I can put it to you that way. It was not a good look when national media is reporting that the Bulls are thinking of going on a mutiny because they don't like how they're being treated by their head coach and they're working them too hard. It was just a bad look that the Sacramento Kings come in here, beat the Bulls, and then laugh. Hey, Chicago, you guys are going to have to go run tonight. It was just a whole bad look. But you look where they're at now, last 10 games, they're tied with Portland in offensive rating, number one in the NBA, and that came against, I think, four of the league's top defensive teams. So there's some good things coming. They just have a long way to go.
Cap, I think no Bulls fan who's paying attention right now can deny that these Bulls, as Boylan has sort of loosened the leash a little bit and let them get out and run, especially the offensive dominance we've seen from Markkanen and LaVine in recent games, it looks better by the eye test. And as you mentioned, the numbers back up that eye test. This looks like a more competent basketball team, at least on the offensive end. And I think Boylan is deserving of some credit for that. But the thing that Jordan was just alluding to a little bit earlier about the, you know, the hashtag Jim Boylan says stuff and the Jim Boylanisms that Bulls fans are listening to on a daily basis. Most recently, one he said over the weekend talking about, you gotta, you know, I'm trying to prepare the kids for the road, not the road for the kids. And it was just the latest example of, you know, Bulls across the chest and all these kinds of things. He gets compared to Tom Thibodeau a lot, but Tibbs basically kept it very simple and said, do your job. Whereas Boylan tries to come up with these creative ways to talk about how he wants passion and grit and toughness. Do you think that that is part of the reason why some of the fan base is still so skeptical of this guy, feeling like he treats his players like kids? Because you don't need to come up with all the fluffy ways to say, hey, do your job, which is what Tibbs would just tell them to do.
Look, if they were winning, no one would say a word. Nothing. Not a stinking word. If this team was all of a sudden competing for the third spot in the East, and you went, wow, they hold a really high draft pick from a previous trade, they're going to add some great player, and they're the third seed in the East, people would go, yeah, he's a little different, but that's our guy. That's our different. But because they got off to this horrific start, and then they made a coaching change, and then they got off to this, you know, bizarre start when he was here, for him to change the narrative, they're going to have to win the draft lottery and get Zion, or get somebody in free agency and get a really good player wherever it is they're picking and get off to a good start next year and compete to go to the playoffs and show real progress. That's how you quiet your critics.
Following up, going back to a little bit of what you were talking about with Jim's overall growth, and I think it comes with what he's doing with the actual players too and their overall development too. You know, you had mentioned quickly about the way that the Bulls have been playing from month to month. You know, that 15-game stretch that they had between December 30th and January 29th, where they were 1-14, they were bottom three in offensive rating, bottom three in defensive rating, and bottom two in net rating. Now, this month, in a 10-game stretch, they're third in offensive rating. While they're bottom third in defensive rating, they're 15th in net rating. It is kind of crazy the way that their offense has sparked this fire between Markkanen, LaVine, and Porter. Do you feel that Jim Boylan has kind of let up a little bit and just allowed Lauri Markkanen, allowed Zach LaVine to just let them create for themselves, kind of realize that I don't need to press these guys every single time they grab the ball and slow things down, just kind of let them be who they are? And what are you seeing from an X's and O's standpoint when you watch the Bulls that's so dramatically different from just a month ago?
There's a few different things. Number one, I think he has emphasized he wants to play with more pace. He wanted to get them, first of all, in shape, which he has been very public in saying, I don't think we were in great cardiovascular shape. And that's hard to play an up-tempo style at both ends of the court because you're going to face teams that do that. Very tough to do that if you're not, you know, really good cardiovascularly. So that's number one. Number two, if you watch Zach LaVine is playing with much more court savvy and intelligence instead of, I've got the ball in my hands and I've got to take a really tough shot. I watched the other day, he came down the court, and I've been highly critical of his decision-making at times. And Jim Boylan said yesterday, we have spent a ton of time in the theater. It's a video room that the Bulls have, just the two of them. And he said, we'll break down play after play where Zach will come up the court, and instead of making an intelligent pass or taking an extra dribble, he's taking a contested, really tough shot, or he'll get a pass on a curl move, and you'll look and go, why are you taking that shot? You're not even squared up to the basket. Well, this time he came down, he made a little hop into the lane, and everyone thought he's going to go up and try and shoot a little runner, very tough shot. He had a defender coming at him, a secondary defender on his hip, and he kind of hooked past it to the three-point stripe where Lauri Markkanen was wide open, and he bangs a three. That is growth. That is intelligence. Now, I'm not telling you he's going to be a pure point guard that's going to be the one who leads the Bulls to prominence, but I am telling you he can be a point forward slash secondary lead guard that helps you get into your sets, that has athleticism, that can complete plays, but is thinking more, hey, man, I can score 42 and I can score 11, but I'm going to make the smart basketball play.
We're talking with David Kaplan here on Locked On Bulls. Follow him on Twitter, at the Catman. And speaking of the smart basketball play, another one of the reasons that this Bulls offense has opened up and really looked greatly improved recently is the addition of Otto Porter Jr., who is the 3-and-D wing that this team was so sorely lacking. Did not play Monday night with the leg strain that took him out of halftime of the game against Boston, and we're hoping that he'll be suiting up tomorrow night against Memphis. But Cap, I'm curious as to what your take on the Otto Porter trade was. We haven't talked since then. A lot of Bulls fans were really critical of the front office, go figure. That's the company line among the fan base these days, saying, I can't believe they would just admit to us that they can't sign a big name free agent this coming summer with all the cap space and the cap flexibility that they constantly brag to us about having, and instead go out and get this player who is a good NBA player but wildly overpaid, and essentially throwing in the towel on free agency. Personally, I think it was, for all of the mistakes and missteps that they have made, a move made in realism, that they understood this team with 14 wins at the All-Star break was not going to be a big destination for the best free agents in the league this summer, and they went about a different way of getting a quality player added to their roster. It still got a lot of backlash from the fan base. Do you think it was a wise move?
I actually do, because, look, you have to know who you are. You have to be honest with yourself. All of us. You got to look in the mirror and go, okay, I'm not good at that. Instead of thinking, you are good at that, I always try to teach our kids, let's admit when we're not good at something, and that way we can get good at it, or we can figure out, how do I get better at it? And the Chicago Bulls are not going to be a player, much as we wish they were, for Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Kyrie Irving, Anthony Davis. They're just not going to be a player at this point for any of those guys. So rather than saying, hey, we're all in, man, we're going to try and have a seat at the table, and find out in the end you don't get him and now you get nobody, what can I trade that I can upgrade my team? Well, I can trade a guy that I never should have signed, but actually I'm lucky I have him on a one-year deal with a one-year option in Jabari Parker. I can't wait to get him out of my room and off my roster, but I can use that money to make a pretty intelligent trade. Oh, and I'll trade you Bobby Portis, because I've already got Lauri Markkanen, Robin Lopez, Wendell Carter Jr. I've got some bodies that can play inside. I can get somebody in the offseason that can play inside, because I'm not giving Bobby Portis $16, $17 million a year. Just not going to happen. I don't think he's good enough. So you take two pieces that have no future for you, and you bring a guy in who's amazing in the room. He's a really good 3-and-D guy. I thought they made a real intelligent trade. Is he getting overpaid? Grossly. But name me an NBA player other than a G League guy that isn't getting grossly overpaid. I love Chris Middleton. I've been talking about him for months. I hope he hits free agency. Chris Middleton, I was told this morning, there is talk that the Bucks are going to give him a deal north of Zach LaVine, and if they had to go to max money, they'd consider it. That's $27, $28, $29 million for a guy that was a second-round pick that came from the G League. they're all getting overpaid.
Yeah, the Bulls crushed your dreams of the rebuild. I know you really liked Chris Middleton, and so do I, but it didn't sound like he wanted to leave Milwaukee, and why would you want to leave when you got a potential MVP in Giannis? And how the Bucks looked, especially even last night without Giannis, they looked incredible, looked to dominate the East for the next half decade, if not longer. But anyway, following up on Otto Porter Jr. really fast, I thought one of the fascinating questions that you asked Jim Boylan, specifically talking about changing the guys that were in the room this season and the Otto Porter trade that followed, beyond just some of the cliches that Jim Boylan was dropping, I thought there was some really good stuff in there, learning about what changed and kind of the culture that's been changed and the temperature of the room and all of a sudden the vibe that was going on. What did you draw from his response and what he was talking about when he came in and change being difficult for the players?
You mean in terms of Jabari or just overall?
Overall, because, you know, obviously he didn't name drop Jabari, but any Bulls fan that's paying attention knows kind of the guys that he was talking about, or in essence, anybody and in general, the tone that had changed since they made that trade.
Yeah, I think moving Jabari out certainly changed the vibe in the room. They liked Bobby. I don't think that they were, you know, thrilled to see him go as a guy.
Agreed.
They just weren't going to pay him. But I think the Jabari vibe needed to change. And I think, you know, there had been some, you know, issues between him and the coach once Boylan became the head coach. Jabari said, I thought we were cool as assistant and player, but then he became head coach and it changed. He just isn't Jim's kind of guy. Jim's a grinder. Jim is a roll up your sleeves, live in the office and get do whatever it takes. Let's find a way to get the job done. That's just not who Jabari Parker is. Wonderfully talented. He's a big time scorer. I just wouldn't want to coach a guy like that. That's not my type of fit. He's a good person. I love his fan. I've been friends with his dad for a long time. I just wouldn't want to coach Jabari Parker on my team. But I think when you made a move like that, you had that first week or 10 days, Jim laid the law down. Things are going to be different around here. And now that he is relaxed offensively, guys are having more fun. They're playing better. Markkanen's elbow has healed up to the point where he took the sleeve off. Guys are just feeling better. And Robin Lopez is a huge factor in that whole thing because he's been very supportive of the coach. He's been very supportive of how they're doing things. Even Bobby Portis told Hoops Hype last week in a deep interview. He said, I'll just tell you, I loved it there. They treat us first class. Things were run well. I didn't want to leave.
I think, you know, in that sense, Bobby was right. I know a lot of Bulls fans were looking for any negative things said about the organization and particularly the guys in the front office by Bobby Portis, because Bulls fans want that evidence piled on that this is an organization that doesn't treat their players well. But Bobby really, really didn't give him anything other than saying he wished that maybe the way that they told him about the trade could have been handled differently, because he was led to believe they weren't going to trade him. But of course, you know, the John Wall injury news happens and Otto Porter becomes available. Things change. And I think that, you know, the Bulls weren't necessarily in the wrong there. Something changed. They adapted to the situation and they made a move. Cap, let's talk about Lauri Markkanen now, because you brought him up just a second ago. We are talking about a guy who, you were saying, you know, he's buying in. He's always been supportive of Boylan since he took over for Fred. Boylan challenged Lowry to become a better rebounder this season, and Lowry's averaging not only 19 points a game, but 9 rebounds. He's on this tear of games where it just seems automatic that he's going to get you 20-plus and 10-plus. And a career-high 35 against the Celtics in a really impressive win. You know, he had another 20 and 10 game last night. As you mentioned, the elbow injury, I think a lot of Bulls fans were really disappointed in what they saw from Markkanen to start this season. With all the chaos and the changing pieces and the changing of the head coach, he really seemed to take some time. Now that Markkanen is in midseason form and with still 20 or so games left to play, Are you starting to believe that this kid can actually be an all NBA level kind of player? Because I see not only the 3-point shooting, but the ways that he is scoring, using his body, using his frame and his muscle to score from inside the 3-point line in this recent stretch of dominant games. And I am just, my eyes are shaped like hearts, man. I love this kid.
Yeah, I liked this kid though before the draft. I remember staying on the air and I had people saying to me, who? You wanted just this big, slow guy from Arizona. I saw this kid play in college, talked to some of the guys I used to scout with in the league, who all said to me, dude, trust me, this kid's a player. And Kevin O'Neill, who used to be the coach at Arizona, who's my closest friend, called me and said, I'm just telling you, if you don't buy into Lowry marketing, you're going to look bad. This kid is amazing. So I started paying more attention. Lowry marketing will be an all-NBA player. That's how good he is. He's 21 years of age. NBA's best 25 under 25 is a new article that ESPN put out today. And, I mean, the list they have are some amazing players. Number one is Giannis. Great. Embiid, Nikola Jokic, Karl Anthony Towns, Ben Simmons, Luka Doncic, Donovan Mitchell, Jason Tatum. If you look there at number 13, that is Lowry Markkanen sitting on that list. It's really good to see.
Talking about Lowry Markkanen really fast, and going back to Zach LaVine too, and those two and the way that they've played together in the month of February, you know, you brought up specifically that one play against the Celtics, and I want to take it one step further because of the way Zach LaVine has sort of developed his game, and it's complemented Lowry Markkanen so much. We talked about it yesterday when we broke down the Celtics game, and I think it's very important. Kyrie comes down, knocks down that three to cut the lead from 11 to 8. Zach LaVine, in games past, usually he goes one-on-one. He sees a star do that. He wants to come back down and try to go back-to-back with him. And basically, leading up to this point, play hero ball. You didn't see Zach LaVine do that. He drove to the basket, kicked it out to Lowry Markkanen. For the first time, I told Matt this too, is we've seen Zach LaVine finally start to trust somebody else on this team. And to me as a fan, I can't be any more excited than I am right now to see that. And between Lowry Markkanen and Zach LaVine trusting each other and growing that chemistry, I think the sky's the limit for both of these guys. If Zach LaVine and Lowry Markkanen are now the two building blocks on this team, where does that leave Wendell Carter Jr.? Where does that leave Chris Dunn? Where does that leave some of these other complementary pieces on this Bulls team?
Yeah, I'm a huge Wendell Carter fan, and I think he's got a role here. He's got to get healthy, obviously, but I'm a big fan. I think he's going to be a part of this team going forward. Not a huge Chris Dunn fan. And I liked him in college. He just hasn't developed. I just don't see him being the point guard, the lead guy, the conductor of your offense on a team competing for a championship. Backup, yeah. He'll hang around the league because he defends fairly well. He plays hard. He's a tough physical kid, but they got to upgrade there. I really would love to see them be able to make a move in free agency for a guy like Ricky Rubio, who I think would be a really nice addition.
What do you think that means for Chris Dunn then? What do you think he gets on the trade market if that's the route that they want to go with him? What do you think the conversation is like between the Bulls and Chris Dunn if they say, you know what, we're not going to move you, but you're better off moving to the second unit where we think you can thrive? What do you think the conversation is like between the front office and Chris Dunn in their exit meeting this summer?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to challenge him and tell him things they want him to work on, but I just think they're going to go into the offseason and try and find an upgrade at that position. I do. If they truly want to turn this thing, it depends what happens in the lottery. If you get Ja Morant, well, he comes in and he's immediately your starting guard. There's no question about it. He's your guy. So do they get Zion? Do they get R.J. Barrett? I mean, if you tell me that I'm getting Wendell Carter back healthy and I'm going to have all these other pieces I've got, and I got R.J. Barrett and I signed Ricky Rubio, well, now you got a totally different team. That's a really talented team that is probably top five in the East, probably a five seed is probably the ceiling with all those young kids, and that thing could get better and better. Let's see how they do. If they get Zion, I mean, the buzz will be insane.
I know a lot of Bulls fans are hoping for Zion and not necessarily hoping for wins between now and early April cap. But as we're talking about how this Bulls roster might morph and adapt coming from year two to year three of the reboot, and obviously maybe targeting a point guard in free agency or the draft, as you said, Zion would obviously change things as far as where they look to address. They'll have about $19 million or so. Currently, that's what they project to have against the cap, even after taking on Otto Porter Jr.'s contract. I'm curious if you feel anyone on this team right now, other than the key guys that we've talked about, of course, Lowry, LaVine, Wendell, Otto, of course. You know, Denzel is a guy that they drafted, but he just can't ever stay healthy. I'm ready to give up on the Denzel Valentine experiment. Is there anyone else playing right now that you would like to see them keep? I know that Wayne Selden Jr. kind of was just a throw in the Memphis trade that allowed the Bulls to get a couple of second rounders for Holiday. He's played really well, but guys like, you know, Blakeney, who we saw for the first time in a while last night, has more shot attempts than passes, which is a ridiculous stat. Shaq Harrison is a guard who can't shoot threes. Archie Diacono, also kind of offensively challenged. Is there anyone right now who's part of this bench mob that you wouldn't mind the Bulls giving a modest offer to stick around beyond this season?
I mean, I like Archie Diacono because I think he's a winning type of player. Look, he's not great. He's not a starter. But you can't tell me there's not a role for a guy that will put his body on the line, that will go out and make the extra pass, play hard, never get in trouble. Come on. There's a role for a guy like that. I'm not a Denzel Valentine guy, but I did some of his games in college. I wasn't a Denzel Valentine guy then. I just felt he's not a great athlete. He's an okay shooter. Just, I don't know what role he fills for you. So, yeah, I am not a Denzel Valentine guy as a player. Sure, he's a wonderful person. It's just not for me and not a guy that I would be counting on long term.
Cap, I got to ask you one last question here. Just talking about free agents and, you know, the rebuild is difficult on a lot of Bulls fans. I know you hear from a ton of Bulls fans on a daily, maybe even hourly basis with Twitter. And we hear from Bulls fans, same thing, hourly, daily basis. The one common thing that we hear, and while it's difficult to watch former Bulls succeed in other places, that heartbreak as a Bulls fan makes you want to reminisce and feel like you want to bring those guys back, specifically talking about guys like Taj Gibson, Derrick Rose, Joakim Noah. Where do you sit in the fact that some Bulls fans may or may not want to bring some of these guys back, maybe in a veteran leadership role, maybe in a role to see if they can spark some kind of second coming here with the Bulls? Where do you sit in all of that conversation when Bulls fans start to bring up names like Noah, like Rose, like Taj Gibson?
I would not bring Derrick Rose back. And it has nothing to do with him as a person or as a player. He got out of here. It had been a sideshow. And he's flourishing away from Chicago. I would not, under any circumstance, bring Derrick Rose back here. You want to let him retire a one-day contract whenever that day comes for him? Great. To come back here and play? No, thank you. In terms of Taj Gibson, depends what the money is. Do I have the capability to have him as a backup big and a leader in my room? I'd be all in. All in. But in terms of bringing back Joakim Noah, no thanks. Body's breaking down. I know he played well. He wouldn't be another guy that I would be that interested in. And I love him as a guy. If you could get him really cheap and he goes, I just want to play in Chicago, he's a great guy in your room. But the only one I'm dead set against, that would be Derrick Rose.
I mean, I'm with you there, Cap, but man, seeing Joakim get 14 and 12 off the bench and get the game-winning charge on LeBron last night.
Don't do it. It's like getting back with your ex-girlfriend.
I would soon rather see Joakim back in a Bulls jersey than Derrick Rose for the same reasons you mentioned, Cap. All right, Cap, you've been great with your time. Before we let you go, one last one. As most Bulls fans know, today is sadly the 10th anniversary of the passing of two Bulls legends, Storm and Norman, Norm Van Leer, and Bulls first ever head coach and broadcasting legend, Johnny Red Kerr. Just curious if you have a favorite story about one of those guys that you'd like to share with us on this special day.
Yeah, Norm was my first radio partner, and I got really, really close to Norm. And then we did some TV together. He was just a wonderful, wonderful guy, and he would tell us all the time that he was playing in a game and the Rolling Stones were in town. And so he'd gotten a technical. He's like, you know what? I'm done. I'm out of here. We're getting beat. And he made sure he got a second technical. So he got kicked out. And he said, I made it to the concert while the opening act was still on. So That was the that was just how Norm rolled. Norm loved life. He loved having fun. And 10 years ago today, I missed that guy desperately.
Well, for a guy whose catchphrase 48 minutes of intensity, you are certainly keeping that memory alive yourself, Cap, because you are on the grind all day, every day. And I know that Bulls fans and Chicago sports fans across the board really appreciate it. So we appreciate you stopping by Locked On Bulls, as always, man. Always a pleasure to chat with you. He's David Kaplan. Listen to Cap and Company weekday mornings, 9 a.m. to noon on ESPN 1000, and catch him as the host of Sports Talk Live weeknights, NBC Sports Chicago. Follow him on Twitter at the Cap Man. Cap, thanks for stopping by again, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Don't be a stranger. Anytime you want me, I love talking Bulls.
All right, thanks, appreciate Cap. It.
See you, boys.
Take care.
Well, that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Thanks again to David Kaplan for hopping on the show with us. You can follow him on Twitter at the Cap Man here on Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to noon on Cap and Company on ESPN 1000, CM weeknights, NBC Sports Chicago Sports Talk Live. You can follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Drop us all of your texts, your voicemails at 331-979-1369. Doing mailbag tomorrow, so make sure you get those voicemails, get those text messages in. You got 24 hours to do that. Should be a great mailbag. Want to hear from you. Your thoughts, interviews, all the episodes we did last week. Want to hear from you, so make sure you drop those voicemails, drop those text messages, 331-979-1369. We're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app. I'm the Nothing But Net channel, live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. For Matt Peck, for Jordan Malley, and our guest, David Kaplan, we are out of here, Bulls Nation. Have a wonderful day. We'll be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.